Hi, I'm John.
And I'm Julie.
We're the hosts of the Hartford Fund's Human-Centric Investing Podcast.
Every other week, we're talking with inspiring thought leaders to hear their best ideas for how you can transform your relationships with your clients.
Let's go.
Jeremy, welcome to the Human-Centric Investing Podcast. It's so nice to have you here today.
It's wonderful to be with you, Julie. I'm excited about today.
Well, yes. And, you know, as we know, you host the Beyond the Mask podcast for your clients and really the world. And we're going to talk about that today because you have created quite a process. But I think, you know, there are many financial professionals out there that have podcasts available to them. It's a compliance approved solution for them in their marketing and branding. And they're not tapping into that. And I think learning from you today and understanding how you have created what you have created with Beyond the Mask is going to be a gift. So will you tell us a little bit about your podcast and remind us about your niche market for those that haven't listened to our previous podcast? Let's just set the foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for having me today. I'm excited to be on here with you. And so we specialize in working with certified registered nurse anesthetists. And I've been doing that for 20 plus years now. So we've developed, a wonderful clientele from this niche that we've catered to throughout these many years. The podcast is interesting because kind of like so many things in life, it was a happenstance. Mm-hmm. Had no idea we were going to do this. And back in 2018, my co-host, who is actually a CRNA, a friend of mine, we're at a meeting, and she looks at me and she goes, "We need to do something together." I was like, "Okay, I mean, what do you want to do?" Mm-hmm. And we bantered out some ideas. And she goes, "You know what? I've been listening to podcasts. And you'd have to know Sharon. You'd have to listen to, I mean, Sharon just kind of says things like it is, very Southern, but she just blurts stuff out." And she goes, "I've been listening to these podcasts. Why don't we do a podcast?" And I was like, "I don't really listen to podcasts that much, but okay, let's do it." So we went down this track. And there was another CRNA there who we knew very well, Deb Flaherty. And Deb was there and she's very artistic. And Sharon goes, "You need to think of a name for this podcast for us, Deb." And she comes back 10 minutes later and she says, "I've got it. Beyond the Mask." We were like, "Cool. We like that. I like it. Let's go." So that's how we came up with this podcast, and that's how it all started at a meeting in 2018.
That's a great story. And now, just to fast forward, it's in the top 50 medical podcasts in the country with 1 million downloads a year. Is that correct?
Not 1 million downloads a year, over 1 million okay. downloads total.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. I just want to make sure that we had that. 1 million
a year would be great, but you know, we're not there yet. Over 400 episodes now, so we're pretty proud of
that. Wow. That's amazing. Why do you think more financial professionals aren't dipping their toe into the podcast world? What is your sense of that as a financial professional who has created this niche on CRNAs and then obviously launched a very successful podcast yourself?
You know, I think that most advisors still market broadly. They haven't developed a niche. And mm-hmm. I think it's very tough to go out and hail yourself as an expert when you're not targeting a market. Listen, mm-hmm. there are people on CNBC and other podcasts out there that probably have better credentials, more credentials than we do, that are talking about the markets and what's going on with the markets right now. It feels overwhelming to some advisors out there. And it, for other advisors, this is too public. I mean, you know, we're scared as an industry to say things, right? I mean, our compliance department says we can't do that, right? And to be honest, you and I both know doing a podcast is intimidating, Julie.
It is. And it's a lot of work.
A lot of work. You've got to really dedicate. I mean, we release every single week.
Wow.
Every week, 52 times a year. So, you know, we record in batches, but I mean, it's still a lot of work. Yes. It's not only the act of recording the podcast, you've got to get the people to be on it. You've got to understand what they're talking about, which we'll talk about that with me in just a minute. You know, it's a lot of work and it's hard. And then I think, you know, people think that compliance is not going to approve it. I think that's short-sighted in the environment we're in today. I will tell you that if you do it right, the long-term branding ROI is massive.
That's so good to know. And obviously what a great way to just get in front of people, build an audience, and then ultimately turn that into business conversations. I mean, I would imagine that that's been the trajectory for you since 2018.
Yeah, I mean, it has. I mean, you know, I never got into it to use for business, though. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty short-sighted if you think you're going to start a podcast and immediately start getting business from it. It's not. It's not going to happen. What it does is it identifies you as someone that's giving back to whatever niche market that you've dedicated your practice to. It also identifies you as an expert in whatever you're talking about to that market. You know, if you're talking about, you know, for my market, for example, how a CRNA can transition from working W-2 to 1099, and what are the tax benefits, financial benefits of doing that, and what are the risks? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's probably nobody in this country that knows that better than us. And when CRNAs hear us talk about it, they understand that as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that along the way, you've got to be able to develop this niche and it can continue to go deep there.
And I would imagine the podcast is an opportunity to bring in a network of professionals that have different areas of expertise and deliver that education to your CRNA client base or just base of professionals versus bringing experts in that just speak the CRNA language. You know, we work with the MIT Age Lab, as you know, and and they, you know, the research that they do constantly says that clients are looking for their financial professional to educate them and connect them to resources outside of their financial plan. And I would just imagine this is such a great venue to do that by tapping into your network of professionals.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so we kind of blend the financial and accounting world with the CRNA world, but with an emphasis on the CRNA world, right? Mm-hmm. And this podcast, it really gave me a seat at the table. Because I'm on constantly with some of the most influential people in the CRNA industry anywhere, the most well-known, the most accepted, the smartest of the smart. And believe me, every CRNA out there, they're extremely, extremely bright individuals. And it just gave me a seat at the table. And for me to be there with them, sometimes I'm kind of in awe because I don't know their world like they know their world, but I consistently learn. And every single podcast we do, I learn something, which is great. You know, and it really is a tool where I show up consistently for my audience, me and my co-host. I mean, as you said, it's a lot of work. I mean, we release 52 times a year. Not only do we have this podcast, we've partnered with the ANA, American Association of Nurse Anesthetists, to bring under our Beyond the Mask umbrella, another podcast called Grade One View, which probably means nothing to the majority of our listeners. But when you look down someone's throat, if they have a Grade One View, that's very good. And this podcast targets the new graduates and students that are going through anesthesia school. So we've partnered with them on that. You know, we also have a clinical edition that we've got two CRNAs, Sharon and I, that's under our Beyond the Mask umbrella. Because let me tell you, if I'm talking clinical, people are going to die. They don't want to hear that from me, right? I mean, I have no idea what to do in an operating room. So we have two other CRNAs that handle that for us, but it's under our umbrella. Mm-hmm. And we're getting ready to roll out another edition, that is going to cater to the educators in the CRNA space because they have different needs than the general population. So we've kind of continued to build out opportunities that we saw a need for that needed to be heard. And it positioned me as more than just a financial guy. Yeah. I'm not just the financial guy. I am a CRNA financial guy that knows the lingo, that's done the time, and that is out there every single week. And I am doing my best to help CRNAs be successful, not only financially, but even in their own industry.
I'm assuming that you didn't have any experience with media or content creation prior to launching your podcast. Am I assuming correctly?
Oh, none at all. You know, we go back to our early episodes, Julie, and Sharon and I both go, oh my gosh, was that us? Like, we were horrible. Like, we're stammering and hemming and hawing. I mean, now we're 400 plus episodes in and, you know, it's easy. But it's like anything else. You've got to learn it. Right. You've got to understand you're not going to be great at it in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But if you put the time and effort into it, you're going to get better. And that's what we want.
What would you say if you reflect back to 2018, 2019, some of those early years, what were some of the biggest challenges that you faced when you were getting this up and running?
Yeah, I think one of them was truthfully confidence. I mean, we're a pretty confident group as advisors. Most of us are type A. But when you go in and you're talking about something that you don't know with people that know it and live it every day, that's tough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, I think, you know, I had a little bit of an imposter syndrome doing this. Hey, what am I doing talking about their world? So I just did it in such a way, and I put myself out there that, gosh, I don't understand your world. I'm trying to, I want to, but I'm very empathetic to what you're going through and I understand it. And I think my empathy came across to our listeners to the point that they gave me some grace about things that I didn't said. I mean, you know, sometimes, as you know, medical terms are very hard to pronounce.
Yes.
And, you know, I would have a little cheat sheet of stuff going on and I would mispronounce a medical term, Julie. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I would slaughter that term, right? I mean, and yes. Sharon, my co-host, is always going to call me out on it.
Of course. That's what good co-hosts do.
You just say, wow, you know, and so we would just kind of make it lighthearted and, so you're gonna mess up and you're gonna have times, but don't take it too seriously. People are forgiving and they will forgive you as long as they know you're there for the right reasons.
Right. Well, I was just saying it's the authentic you, right? And that's what they're seeing. So.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what people like. That's what they want.
Absolutely. So when you were starting out, because with the success that your podcast has had now, I would imagine guests come to you saying, I'd like to be on the podcast. But at the beginning, when it wasn't as well known and you didn't have all the downloads and all the listeners, how did you find guests? Because I'm just thinking for our listeners that, again, are maybe creating their own podcast plan and are probably thinking, I don't think I know enough people. Right. How does that process begin?
Yeah, that's tough. And for me, that's my partner made all the difference. You know, Sharon, who's on the podcast with me, Sharon Pierce, she's been a past president of the North Carolina Association, extremely involved in the CRNA community. She worked her way up. She became president of the national organization. She's won about every award in the CRNA community that can be won, knows thousands of people. People know her name. So it wasn't me, it was her. It was her name, her voice. She got, you know, the majority, if not all, of our early podcast folks. And to this day, you know, she still does our our scheduling. And but people do, you're right, contact us now. Hey, this would be a great idea for the podcast. We ask on every podcast if you have an idea for the CRNA community that you'd like to get out there that other CRNAs should know about, let us know. We're always looking for great people to be on the show. So we ask, and people oblige that. But early on, it was definitely her, and I'm giving her kudos today.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Sharon. I'll give her the kudos too. How do you balance being a podcast host or co-host and also being seen as a financial professional thought leader in your own right? How have you teetered those two worlds, if you will, or do they come together and collide as one?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think they come together and collide as one. You know, I mean, our niche market definitely makes that, both of those worlds gauged together. I mean, you know, I think, you know, but my wife being a CRNA as well, obviously, gives me some street cred a little bit there as well. You know, I have tons of friends that are CRNAs. You know, I eat, sleep, live and breathe CRNA on a daily basis. Podcast, the clients, and I really just try to utilize their industry to get them where they want to be. And they definitely collide all the time. And like you said earlier, I mean, it is a lot of work. You know, we have a great crew that, as you guys do, who, you know, once we record, they kind of take it and make us look better, sound better, and so forth, producers and so forth. And, you know, that's definitely worth its weight in gold. If you're out there trying to do a lot of that stuff yourself, early on, you can do that. But as you have more success, you've got to have a group of people helping. So, you know, I think all that kind of brings everything together and makes it a little easier for us to do what we do and kind of meld in the podcasting.
For those financial professionals listening and that have podcasts open to them as an option, it's an approved marketing channel or, you know, branding communications channel, we'll say, what would you guide them to do if they are thinking seriously about this? What is the first step or steps that they should take, or what kind of plan should they build in order to make sure that it unfolds as smoothly as possible? Because obviously, you've been down this road and it turned out very successfully, but what wisdom would you share?
Yeah, well, you know, I would say it goes back to starting with your niche. Who are you really trying to reach? You know, you can't use the shotgun approach. It's not going to be successful. Be ruthlessly specific in who you're trying to reach. And don't try to sound like every other financial podcast out there. Niche, be human, you know, mispronounce names sometimes, laugh at yourself, but always, always be helpful. Be helpful to whoever you're trying to target out there. Be consistent, you know, don't release one this month and then 3 months later release one and then 2 weeks. Be consistent. You know, we've done over 400 episodes. We've never missed a week in 400 episodes. And you build trust one download at a time. People will come back and listen to you. They know that every Thursday our podcast drops. You know, I'm not saying people are waiting in line. Some do. That's great. Thank you very much. But you know, every Thursday we drop. You know, I think the other part of it is when you're developing this out, focus on serving, not selling. That's where loyalty comes from. That's where your business comes from. Have a servant's heart in this. But develop it out. Know you're going to mess up. You know, do, and if you're not in the niche per se, you need to be in the niche. You need to get to know people, make sure that this is what you want to do. And if you don't feel comfortable, maybe try to partner like I did with someone who's a part of that niche. It gives you instant credibility. And when things happen on the show that you know nothing about, you've got somebody to rely on. And it's like when we do financial podcasts and Sharon's on with me, she doesn't say a whole lot. She kind of points to me.
Makes sense.
You know, and if there are things, I mean, you know, luckily I've developed a lot of smarts about the CRNA industry, and I do get it to a certain point. So I'm a lot better now than I used to be. And I do my homework. But yeah, maybe partnering with somebody is a great idea as well.
That makes sense. And I would imagine you just have to have a little bit of patience at the beginning, right? You don't launch your first episode or two and all of a sudden have a million downloads. So I would imagine it's a sequential process and you just have to keep at it and create that consistency and, you know, build that audience over time.
Absolutely. And, you know, early on, don't pay attention to those numbers. I mean, your downloads, you get one this week or five or 20. Right. It can be disheartening. I mean, it really can be. I put all this work into this. I thought this was going to be a great topic and nobody listened to it. Mm-hmm. Consistency, consistently do it with the servant's heart. Look at it from their viewpoint. What's important to them? What is their need? And ultimately you'll be successful in it. And you might not ever get to a million downloads or even 10,000. Mm-hmm. Right? Statistically speaking, you know, I think, what is it, 90-some% of podcasts stop after like their fifth episode or 10th episode. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on top of that, I think there was another statistic I read that the majority of podcasts never get 10,000 downloads. I mean, so it's being there, being consistent, staying that niche. And, you know, ultimately people will come to know you as that servant for them.
I think that's such great advice. Well, thank you again for joining us today on the Human Centric Investing Podcast to talk about your podcast process and how you've been able to very successfully build that. I'd love to transition to our lightning round, which is how we get to know you a little bit better as the human behind your podcast, Beyond the Mask. So if you're willing, I'd love to ask you some questions and just share with us your top of mind answer.
I love how you just spring this on me, Julie. I mean, we're going to do this lightning round. Oh, by the way, we're going to ask you questions that, you know.
We have to keep things exciting and fresh around here.
I love it. Absolutely. Let's do it.
Perfect. Do you prefer a beach house or a lake house?
I have a beach house and I do not have a lake house. So I'm going to say beach house.
Well, there we go. I think that's a great answer. What is your favorite city in the U.S.?
Favorite city in the U.S.? Oh, wow. Now that one stumps me. I don't know if I can pick a favorite. I like so many large cities and then even some small cities. Can I change that and tell you what state I like the best?
100%. This is all about you.
Let's do the state. So it'd be North Carolina, which is where I live.
Okay.
So I feel like we have the best of everything here. You've got the coast. You've got, kind of what we call the Piedmont area. You've got the mountains. We have lots of great airports that we can get anywhere, either out of Charlotte or Raleigh. We don't want everyone to move down here, though, because I really hate it if you're living somewhere else and you want to move here. But it's great for us. We speak a little slower so we can understand each other a little better. I would say North Carolina is my favorite state. I don't know city, though.
I understand. I would have a hard time picking that one, too. What's the first concert you ever went to?
Oh, man, you're going back. So the first concert I ever went to was AC/DC.
Oh, that's a good one.
My cousin dragged me to that as a teenager, and he was really into the headbanging and hard metal and dragged me to that concert. And I just remember banging my head and singing the song, "You Shook Me All Night Long." You know, I just remember that.
Yeah, that's going to be in my head all day. Well, and for our final question, I read in your bio that a passion of yours is collecting rocks from your travels. Yeah. What's your favorite rock and where is it from?
Oh, man. So one of them is actually from Italy. Mm. We were at the Colosseum in Rome.
Wow.
And there was a piece of the Colosseum that was somewhat falling apart, and it was a little bitty piece about, you know, maybe, half an inch. Mm-hmm. And I did not pick it out. It was already loose. Mm-hmm. I took it, the little piece. And I look at it and I go, wow, look at all the history in this little bitty rock that was there. I mean, how long ago it was there and all the stuff that it's seen. It was kind of cool. So stuff like that interests me.
That's amazing. I love that story. Well, Jeremy, we can't thank you enough again for joining us to talk about your podcast. Again, it's called Beyond the Mask. And if you're interested in Jeremy's website, it is crnafinancialplanning.com. Or to hear any more about his topics of interest, again, please feel free to visit his podcast. It's available anywhere you get your podcasts. Thank you again for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Julie. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Hartford Funds Human-Centric Investing Podcast. If you'd like to tune in for more episodes, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, or YouTube.
And if you'd like to be a guest and share your best ideas for transforming client relationships, email us at guestbooking@hartfordfunds.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Talk to you soon. The views and opinions expressed herein are those of the guest, who is not affiliated with Hartford Funds.